Joseph Stolwell told about a problem he was having keeping the windows clean at Shepherd's home. This institution in Union Grove, Wisconsin, was established to provide a loving home for the mentally impaired. Many children have been nurtured in Christian love through this home. Many have also come to know Christ as the Savior. They have also learned about the soon return of Jesus Christ. This is a teaching the children of Shepherd's Home take very seriously. And that's just the problem. Each day, the children run to the window to see if this is the day when Jesus will return. They just can't keep their windows clean. Jesus and his disciples had left the temple and were headed up on the Mount of Olives when one of the disciples said with an awe look, "Wow, look at all these temples. Look at all these buildings, these rocks. Aren't they magnificent?" Now, this is not unusual a response for a guy from the country whose first time it was to see all these big buildings. It can be a bit overwhelming to someone who has never seen all those big buildings in person. You know, remember now that the four disciples here were from Galilee, which was a fishing town. They had small houses and maybe a few buildings to work on the boats, but not big temples and shrines and all these things like were found in a big city. And I had a similar experience to this when I went to Chicago. Unlike Tallahassee or Orlando or Jacksonville, where I've been, and they have a few large buildings, Chicago has just block after block after block after block of large buildings. And when you're walking between them, it's like walking in dark shadows. The sunlight doesn't get all the way down to the street. There's so many tall buildings. And so I'm seeing all this and all these tall buildings, and I'm walking around, my mouth hanging open, you know, just looking at all these tall buildings. And it was quite obvious that this country boy had come to town, you know, to anybody that walked by me. I'm sure Jesus had his hands full with his country boy disciples from Galilee who had come to the big city. I mean, the temple and other buildings were so big and wonderful, it appeared to them that, my goodness, these people had everything they needed, you know? Yet Jesus' main concern was that the disciples needed to focus on what was really important. Now, Pastor, what could that be? Well, I'm glad you asked that question. That's why we're here this morning. What is really important is quality of life, not quantity of material. If you remember the parable of the poor woman and the two copper coins, Jesus said, "Look," when he pointed out the woman putting the two coins in the plate. He said, "Look," when he talked about the scribes in the same parable that walked around all high and mighty. We've talked about that scripture here before. He was talking about what was happening inside the temple, not how the temple looked. The temple was not meeting the spiritual needs of the folks that came there. That's what the problem was. Sure, it looked like they had everything. They had the fancy buildings and with all the ornate stuff and statuettes and all kinds of things and chariots and vendor tables out front and all that kind of stuff. But they weren't meeting the spiritual needs of the people. Now we're in trouble because we have that same thing going on around this country today. In fact, what about our own church? It's a nice place. We have a wonderful building here with carpet and air conditioning and heat and a sound system so you can hear my big mouth. You know, fellowship hall with a nice place to meet, even a place for the pastor to live. And what about the grounds that all these buildings are on? Why, it's some of the nicest property in Tallahassee. Well, okay, I'm a little biased there, but, you know, I think it's nice. The thing is, as nice as all of this is, none of it matters. It doesn't matter if you have all this or a pole barn to worship under. If you're not meeting the spiritual needs of the people, that's what's important. That's what's important, is to make sure that we're meeting the spiritual needs of the people in this church and the people in our community. not how fancy our buildings are. There's a hymn I want you to look at. The hymn, it's in your hymnal. It's on page 558. Take a minute and open it up. You'll recognize it. It's an old favorite. We used to sing it in Sunday school a lot. We sing it here once in a while. Look at the first verse, what it says. The church is not a building. The church is not a steeple. The church is not a resting place. The church are the people. The church is the people, not the materials that make it up. That's what Christ is saying here today. That's what he's trying to get the disciples to focus in on. Not what, how nice the buildings look and all the fancy things they have. It's what's going on inside with the people that are in there. Because it's the people that make up the church. Without the people here, these are just buildings. Now read the last verse. At Pentecost, some people received the Holy Spirit and told the good news through the world to all who would hear it. Now we're getting down to the heart of what matters. To receive Christ and then go out into the world and take that message that he's given us, the good news that he's given us, and share it with people. That's what matters. If we're doing that, then we are meeting the spiritual needs of the people. But wait a minute, there's more here. Jesus also tells us there's another reason why the material things around us are not important. He tells us that none of it will last. Remember, he told the disciples, don't get excited about all the fancy buildings, because eventually it'll all be gone. They'll just be piles of rubble. Because when the end comes, it will all be destroyed. And of course, what was the response from our wonderful disciples? Yes, right after he had told them what the main thing was, they whipped out their Franklin planners and their Palm Pilots and said, well, what date is this all going to happen? We want to know when the end is coming, because we want to run home and tell Mama we love her and then get back to where we're supposed to be in the right place. They missed it again, didn't they? And doesn't this sound familiar? Don't we get so worried about other things? About when something's going to happen? I mean, after all, January 1st, 2000 would be the beginning of the end, according to many. How many of us made note of that day and then started thinking about what to do to get ready? I can hear my mother, God love her. She's so worried. Anytime something's going to happen, the house has got to be ready. Oh, I got to get everything clean. Got to get the laundry done. Got to get the yard cut. All this stuff. And on and on and on. Some people, when we think about back then, when we remember some of the articles on the news, some people started buying canned food and making bunkers to hide underground in. What's up with that? If Jesus is coming back, we don't want to try to hide from him, do we? Heavens no. We don't want to stay on earth if Jesus is coming back. We want to go and make sure that our heart is right with God so we can go with him. We don't want to hide. We don't want to be left behind. Speaking of left behind, I have to share this with you. I laugh at myself every time I think about it. I've been listening, as the different books come out, listening to the series Left Behind on tape. And I had gotten through about three books and was really caught up into the series. And in case you're not sure what that is, it's a series on the end times. They're fictional, but they're written by Christians. And they're very, very good. And they get you to thinking. That's the whole point behind them. And I got really caught up in it, you know, and I'm listening to this tape. I'm going, man, wouldn't it be cool? Wouldn't it be neat to be one of those tribulation force guys? You know, wouldn't it be neat to be, you know, while all this bad stuff is happening, be underground working for God and all this stuff? And then I thought, wait a minute, what am I thinking about? I don't want to be here when the tribulation happens. I don't want to be here with all the bad stuff. I want to go and be with Jesus. Forget that. That'd be way more cool than that. The main problem here for us and for the disciples then was losing sight of what really matters. I lost sight of what really mattered when I started listening to those books. I had to think, wait a minute. Yeah, these are good books. They're getting me to think, but I don't want to be here. They need to be making me think to not want to be here. You see, when we get caught up in listening to people that predict when the end is coming or any other major event and worrying about getting it on our calendar, we use up valuable time and energy. Think about it. When we hear people come out with a book and they say, oh, it's predicting the end of the world, or it's going to happen in 2000, whatever, you know, we spend a lot of time and energy talking about it and worried about it, don't we? And that's not what Christ wants us to do. Furthermore, Christ warns us in the scripture this morning to be careful with people like that. When people come out and they say, we've got all the answers, or I'm the risen Christ. We've heard a few of those, haven't we? You know, or I've written this book, I've got the answers right here. Christ says, be careful of those folks. Be leery of those folks. They'll lead you astray. Nobody has the answers to that. After all, how can we think we can get the date right when we're not even sure what calendar to use? Let me share this illustration about the millennium that makes this point. It's called What Year Is It? And it's a trip. You'll enjoy it. Have you made your party plans for the millennium? Better hurry. The Savoy in London is booked. The Space Needle in Seattle is rented, and Disney World is full. But wait a minute or more. What year is it? Although purists argue that the 21st century, and thus the third millennium of the Common Era, does not officially start until January 1st, 2001. Yet most people will celebrate Millennium Eve on December 31st, 1999. Okay. The argument over time is not new. Calendars are neither accurate nor uniform. For example, the Western or Gregorian calendar is a revised version of the Julian or Roman calendar. When Pope John I, in the 6th century, asked mathematician and monk Donatius Ignatius to design a method for calculating the date of Easter, the monk also renumbered all the years of the calendar, focusing on the birth of Jesus instead of the founding of Rome. However, Donatius mistakenly placed the birth of Jesus in the 753rd year of the old calendar. Scholars generally agree that Jesus was born a few years before Herod, and that King Herod died in the 750th year of the old calendar. Thus, our present calendar may be off by as much as 6 years. Moreover, when Great Britain and the American colonies adopted the Gregorian calendar, 11 days were skipped in 1752 to ensure uniformity. That in itself caused tremendous problems. For instance, George Washington's 20th birthday, his date of birth changed from February 11th to February 22nd. Are you confused yet? George Washington was. He didn't know when to have a birthday. That's all right. A great American country cleared all that up. They just created President's Day. That really helped a lot. The point is, you can begin to see that there's been so much monkeying around with the calendar since the beginning of time. How can anybody figure out when the end is coming? And thus, why should we worry about it? We need to leave that up to God and let Jesus worry about that. And yet, there are some people out there that think they have figured it out. These are the people running around saying they can predict when the end is coming and that they have all the answers. They're always out there. We always see a new book come out once in a while and somebody's predicting all the stuff in the future, including the end. And again, we need to be careful of this, folks. The bottom line is we need to keep focused on what is really important and not get caught up in material things that are around us or when that all might be gone. We need to focus on the good news of Christ and sharing it with others. You know, as I was writing this, I thought, well, then what's the point of even having a calendar? Well, I thought of a good use for it. As you open your calendar up each day to check and see what the events are for that day, look at the day before and say, how did I share Christ yesterday? How did I pass on the good news? And then look at today's date and say, okay, I've got all these things to do today. Where and there am I going to share the good news of Christ? Remind us of what it is we really need to do. What we need to be worried about. What the main focus is. And that is, share the good news of Christ. That's all we've got to do. We don't have to worry about anything else. We don't have to worry about the buildings here. We don't have to worry about what day it is or when the end is coming. We don't have to worry about anything else. Just that we need to go out and share the good news of Christ. You know, that's pretty simple when you really think about it. We just got to do it every day.